Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We have a few visitors with us. We extend a very special welcome to you and glad that you came to worship God with us. We'd like to welcome you back whenever you get a chance. We have a few announcements and prayers before we get into the lesson. One, I want to remind everybody about our gospel meeting that's going to be here Friday and Saturday. And Brother Stephen Curro will be here Friday. Let me double check the time. Friday at 7. The title of the lesson is Where Did You Get This Authority? And then Saturday will be at 6:30, titled, the lesson will be Sweet as Honey. And then he will be conducting the Sunday morning Bible class and the lessons Sunday. So let's mark our calendars, try to invite as many people as we can. We have a number of people that we need to remember in prayers. Glenda has a prayer request to pray for her nephew for dealing with his heart problems, and her sister-in-law, who's been in and out of the hospital since April. So it sounds like she's just been going through it all. We ask continued prayers for our son, Bobby. He's been in the hospital since Tuesday or Wednesday. He's got chronic pancreatitis, and he's having a flare-up right now, and it's very painful. Marion's out of town in Phoenix right now. We need to remember her. Celia is sick at home, and Ken Mitchell has requested prayers. It was mentioned in the announcements. He's going to be having surgery on one of his eyes this coming Wednesday, and so we need to remember him. And then once that heals, he'll have surgery on the other eye. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly, thanking you for the avenue of prayer, thanking you that we can come to you with our thoughts, our worries, our concerns, our praise to you. Dear God, we're thankful for the many blessings that you give us. There are a few people that we have concerns about right now that we'd like to offer to you. We are asking and expressing our will to you, but in the end, we want your will to be done. Dear God, we ask that you be with Glenda's nephew who's dealing with heart problems. We also ask you be with her sister-in-law, who's been having health problems off and on since April. We ask that you comfort her, be with the doctors that are dealing with her, and please help both her nephew and sister-in-law. We continue prayers for our son, Bobby. He has been in and out of the hospital a couple of times these last few weeks, and we pray for him that the doctors will find exactly the best way to treat him and that he will be comforted. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Celia while she's homesick today. We ask that you be with Ken as he's preparing for surgery. We ask that the surgery be successful, that you be with the doctors as they perform that surgery on him. Dear God, we also ask that you be with those of our number who are traveling, who are out of town, such as Marion, that they have a safe trip and will return home safely. Dear God, we're thankful for the visitors that we have, those that live here in town and those that are traveling out of town, that they came to worship you with us. Please be with us, continue to be with our worship to you, that everything that is done in spirit and in truth and acceptable to you. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. We also want to welcome any of the people who are watching us online. We have a number of people that watch us each week. I want to say hi, a little shout out to the Lunsfords. They're probably eating lunch right now watching us, but we're glad that people watch us online, that's available. The title of the lesson today is That You May Believe. Sam read a scripture for us earlier, and that was the center of the idea, that you may believe. And we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. It's not going to be an in-depth study like we did in Wednesday night Bible class. I don't know, a couple of years ago. It seems like it took us a couple of years to get through it. This is more of a little survey, but it's based on this idea that you may believe. We find at the end, toward the end of the gospel, the passage where Sam was talking about, where Jesus appears to Thomas. The apostles had come together and Thomas wasn't with them. He didn't get to see Jesus with the others the first time. And starting off in John 20, verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' And he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' He must have been from Missouri. Show me. I want to see it myself. I don't want to take somebody else's word for it. I need to see it." Goes on to say, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" More people never had the opportunity to see and to touch Jesus. More people didn't have that opportunity. But Jesus is saying, "I'm glad you believe. You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." That's us. We did not get the opportunity to live at that time, but yet we believe and have that benefit of the belief. The passage that Sam read, it's interesting, those of you that do writing and English papers and stuff like that, I always remember you usually put the thesis at the beginning of the paper. What the paper is about. That you can look at the introduction and thesis and it kind of tells you what it's going to be about. The Apostle John put the thesis at the tail end. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This idea of belief is a step beyond just the mental acknowledgement. It's that belief that takes you to action, that you will believe and act on it and be obedient and follow him. Not just, yeah, I believe in a Jesus, but believe in him and will follow him. In the next chapter, the last chapter, last verse, if I'm not mistaken, says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. The Gospel of John, there were many things that Jesus did. But the things that were written, that were inspired by God to John to write down, were done so that you may believe. And that belief would lead to life in his name. I want to briefly, hopefully briefly, look at some of those things. The gospel starts out in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And skipping over to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And toward the end of this chapter, verse 29, John the Baptist was with some of his followers and says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John knew. John the Baptizer recognized and knew as a prophet of God, an inspired prophet, who Jesus was. Here's the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that will be for us. He recognized it, and he told the people with him. And in verse 40 of this chapter, it says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. This is a whole lesson in and of itself, that when you come to the knowledge of who Jesus is, you want and need to share it with those that you love the most. The first thing he does is goes gets his brother. We have found him. Obviously, they've been looking for him. They had that heart of searching for and waiting for the Messiah. It had been proclaimed by John. Andrew goes and tells Peter. His first miracle is in chapter 2. The idea of turning water to wine. Not a big deal for Jesus. The first verse we looked at, he was in the beginning with God. Everything was made through him and by him. Here, Jesus takes water and makes it into wine. Changes one thing into another. To the people, that was something. Not a big deal for the entity that was in the beginning and made something from nothing. Made the world and its creation from nothing. Bright Angel had a weekend seminar about creation from Friday and Saturday. It was wonderful. If you ever get a chance, Eric Lyons, who is with Apologetics Press, his videos are online. Wonderful speaker. The atheist, the scientific people that believe in the Big Bang Theory, disagree with them, but the question I ask, where did that original mass come from for the Big Bang to start? Where did that come from? God and Jesus created the world out of nothing. Turning water to wine to the people, that was something. For the creator of the world, okay, next, no big thing. This was his first miracle. Verse 11, it says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. These things were written that you may believe. It was getting the message across who this man is. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. It is estimated in Jerusalem during Passover at this time. Passover was one of the feasts that the Jews from outside of Jerusalem would come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. It is estimated that Jerusalem would swell to over 1 million people during Passover. There's a lot of people there. Many of them were witnessing these signs. What is a sign? It's the same as today. A sign announces something. It informs them. It directs people. That's what Jesus was doing. He was announcing. He was directing. He was making it clear. Some signs you drive by and you miss the sign. They weren't missing this sign. Many believe they saw it and it had an impact on them. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, her exchange with Jesus in chapter 4 there, Jesus told her about this living water. I want this living water. Who is this man that I can follow and worship him? She has a heart of wanting to follow whoever this person is. And in verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." It had an effect on her. First thing she does, very similar to what Andrew did. She's going and telling people. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Going back to the end of John, that if you wrote every single thing down, the world couldn't hold it all. We don't have the account of Jesus telling her all these things, but she says, "He's told me everything I ever did." And the result was many believed. Later in chapter 4, we see Jesus healing a nobleman's son. He did it from a distance. He wasn't even there to touch him, to put his hands on him. The nobleman came to Jesus. "My son is sick." I get that. I get it. Please help my son. Jesus tells him, "Your son is fine. Go home." When he gets home, he finds out his son was healed. When was he healed? He finds out it was the exact time he was talking to Jesus. He and his household believed. Jesus was able to do things at a distance. He heals a lame man. In chapter 5, it explains the man had been lame for 38 years. This is not a shill in the crowd. This man had been lame longer than Jesus had been alive. It's not some Benny Hinn trick. And he healed him immediately. No physical therapy. Don't try this. Let's try this medicine for a while. Let's go to physical therapy. None of that stuff. It would have been nice to have that healing your foot this summer. She's still hobbling around. It was June that she had the surgery. He was healed immediately. "These things were written that you may believe and have life in his name." 5 verse 36. "But I have a greater witness than John's." John the baptizer was telling lots of people. But that's John saying it. Jesus says, "I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." How can you observe these things and come to any other conclusion? Time after time after time after time, and not even all of them were recorded. In chapter 6, he feeds 5,000 people. 5,000 people that are going to witness this event and then go their way and tell others. You're not going to believe what just happened. But yet some did believe. Here's a minor event. Walking on the water. It's not like somebody has done, that's not an everyday occurrence. It's not like, the lame man, it might have just been his time to get better. Maybe the things that other doctors have done had helped him. And when Jesus came along, that's when he got better. Explain this one away. Chapter 7, verse 31. And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? All the things we're seeing, when the Messiah comes, when the Christ comes, will he be doing more than this guy? We've witnessed so many of these things. In chapter 9, he heals a blind man. A man that had been, and it made it very clear, he had been blind since birth. Again, not a Benny Hinn parlor trick. He had been blind from birth. And he kind of used a little unorthodox method. He didn't give him some special cream to put in his eye. Spit on the ground, made a little muddy paste and put it on his eyes. And healed the man. The result, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Here's a little event for you. The raising of Lazarus. Word was sent to Jesus. Our brother Lazarus, who Jesus was friends with him and Mary and Martha. They were close. He spent a lot of time with them. They send word to him. Come quick, Jesus. Brazos. Come quick. Lazarus is dying. Jesus waits 4 days on purpose where there would be no dispute. When he gets there, Martha expresses her confidence in Jesus. Had you been here, we're confident you could have healed him and he wouldn't have died. Let me do you one better, Martha. Let me resurrect him from the dead. And he does. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. It affected more than just the family. People were, all their friends were coming trying to comfort them. They had lost a brother. Jesus comes, raises Lazarus from the dead. And the result? Many believed in him. Then there's Jesus' own resurrection. Chapter 20. That's why we meet each Sunday. Paul talks about for a good person, somebody might give their life for. Very rarely. But God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. More than dying for the ungodly, he conquered death for the ungodly, that we may have life. That this isn't it for us. It's not just this. We have life in his name. I'd like to read this again. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Not just a mental acceptance, but that it will affect you and you will do something about it. And an obedient belief to put your Lord on in baptism and to follow him and to study and to do what he says to do. It is overwhelming, the evidence of who Christ is. I just want to leave it with a question. Do you believe? We are here today because we do. If you do not believe, why not? We've looked at, I didn't count how many examples, but many, many, many people believed and followed because of what Jesus did. And we have record of it. We don't need to be like Thomas. Well, unless I get to see personally and put my... We don't get that opportunity. Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. The lesson is yours. You've got an outline that if you'd like to look over any of the verses this week in your private study, you can do that. If you are a Christian, we believe. We ask people that question before baptism. Do you believe in Christ that he's the Son of God? If you don't believe, if you need further study, we would love to study more about it with you. Get with one of us. We will set those studies up. If you've been studying and realize, I do believe, but I have not been baptized. Jesus said, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Belief is not enough. We have to follow him. We have to obey him. He says we have to believe and be baptized. If we can assist you in any way, if you need prayers of our congregation, if you would like to identify with worshiping with us, and would like to kind of connect yourself with South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, let's stand and sing. Come forward if you need to be assisted.